It's All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Amy Eddings. Concerned that it might be losing out on business, a major ratings agency loosens its standards for analyzing bonds. Right away, there's an effect. Clients start lining up for AAA ratings on real estate bonds that might get a lower rating somewhere else. Sound familiar? Ratings agencies took their share of blame for the financial meltdown 5 years ago when they gave good grades to bad bonds. New York Times reports Standard & Poor's is engaging in some of the same old practices. Nathaniel Popper wrote the story. He's with me now. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good to be here.
So give it to me, the good, the bad, and the ugly. What's the evidence that you found to support this charge that S&P is deliberately going easy on the bonds it's rating?
Well, there's a pretty stark moment in time where you can see over the last year that Standard & Poor's put a report out saying we're changing our standards. Now, this came after a time, as you said, that they'd been struggling to get business. After the crisis, they tightened up like all the other ratings agencies, and they were struggling to get business. Well, last year in 2012, they came out and said, okay, we're changing our standards. Now, when they did that, they said, this isn't about getting business. This isn't about going easier. We're just changing our criteria to make them more accurate. But what we've seen since tells a slightly different story.
You spoke with quite a few current and former S&P workers, many of them speaking anonymously. What did they tell you about the change in direction at S&P?
Well, there is a lot of confusion about just what it is that S&P stands for. The ratings agencies, in a perfect world, would be these sort of unobjective, unimpeachable standard bearers who can say, this company is good, this company is not worth lending your money to. But what the employees inside say is that business interests eat into everything. And the analysts, the people who actually rate the bonds, are supposed to be sort of walled off from that. But what became clear in our reporting is that they are very much influenced by that, and that influences their work. And that can create frustration because obviously that's not necessarily why the folks got into that business.
So nothing has been done in the last 5 years to fix this inherent conflict of interest that was exposed during the financial crisis?
You know, this is one of the issues that somewhat fell to the curb in the course of doing our financial reform legislation. There was an amendment led by Al Franken, none other than Al Franken, trying to cut out some of these conflicts of interest. But over the course of the Dodd-Frank reform law being passed, it kind of got minimized, put aside, you know, we'll deal with this in the future. And so far, we're still waiting for them to do something. I mean, there have been tweaks here and there, but the fundamental system is still the same.
I guess you could say the difference today, post-crisis, is that everyone knows ratings aren't infallible. Does that help at all?
Well, you know, sophisticated investors are indeed a lot more skeptical of the ratings agencies, and they do a lot more of the work themselves. The issue is that in many cases, ratings agencies are actually written into the law or they're written into the charters of investment companies. So they can only buy bonds if they are rated, if they achieve a certain rating with Standard & Poor's or Moody's. And so to a certain degree, these organizations, the ratings agencies, have an influence that really is going to be with us for a long time, even if we are aware of the conflicts of interest.
Nathaniel, what does the leadership at S&P say about the reasons the company changed its standards and the implications now that it's getting boffo business as a result?
I mean, I think their essential response is we made these changes for good reasons, and let's talk about what those reasons are rather than looking at whether it was due to commercial pressures. I mean, they say it wasn't because of commercial pressures. It was because the market has changed, and we're responding to that. And the fact that it got us more business, well, you know, maybe we're
unintended consequences, right?
that's one way of putting it.
Yeah. Earlier this year, the Department of Justice sued Standard & Poor's for fraud over its ratings practices in the years leading up to the crisis. Is there any connection between that lawsuit and what you found out that's happening today?
Well, that's certainly part of what makes this so interesting. You would think that S&P would be the last company to kind of go back to the old ways to the degree they have. They are being sued by the government in this incredibly high-profile lawsuit. The other ratings agencies have not been sued by the federal government. Now, the lawsuit came a few months after they made these changes. So this may have happened before they really came under the spotlight. But what we see when you look at the data is that they have sort of continued being aggressive and going after business, continued giving better ratings even after the lawsuit. And that's interesting.
Mm. Very quickly, Nathaniel, do you see other ratings agencies following suit?
Well, you know, what you hear is that the other agencies have a certain pressure on them when S&P is getting all the business to go to those to that level of standards. Now, what we see when we look at it is that Moody's and Fitch have so far sort of maintained about the same standards that they've had over the last year. So we don't see any sign of them influencing others. But that's sort of the whole cycle of ratings agencies,
right,
is that one person does it and it puts pressure on the next person to do it if they want to stay in the game.
Nathaniel Popper is a reporter for the New York Times. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.